imagine traveling back to a time before the internet, before Mountain Dew Livewire, and before the Neo post-apocalypse. This summer, Apocalypse Video asked the question, where were you in 1982?
I mean, what happened? How did everything that was so good get so bad?
A time when men were men.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
Women were women.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
And mice could talk.
My son Timothy is so sick.
Join us all summer long as we celebrate the box office hits and misses of 1982. The date is August 13th, 1982. Steve Miller's Abracadabra is climbing the charts as it looks to steal the number one spot from reigning champion Eye of the Tiger. And a dramedy about high school life in the 80s is about to create one of the most famous stoner archetypes ever put to screen. The film is Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and it's about to make some killer waves now.
Universal Pictures presents everything you always wanted to do in high school with everyone you always wanted to do it with.
Hey, bud, let's party.
They're the students of Ridgemont High. Brad Hamilton, the fast food king.
I shall serve no fries before their time.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Charles Jefferson. A man with a mission.
Oh, gnarly!
Linda Barrett, not exactly the girl next door.
Awesome! Totally awesome!
And Jeff surfs up Spicoli.
People on lewds should not drive.
My skull. I'm so wasted.
See Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Hey. Mike, Jackie, you see that sign? What does it say?
No shoes.
No shirt.
No dies. Learn it. Love it. Live it. I'm your host, Dave, and we're back at school, guys. It's 1982. We're in Van Nuys. Ridgemont High. The summer's about to end. We're about to go back to school. Like, how you guys feeling?
Really, really bummed. for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
This movie was such a bummer, man.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, before we came in here, Ryan wasn't able to be on this episode, but he did tell me, he's like, if Jackie and Mike talk shit about this movie, I'm kicking their asses.
Okay, you know the Addy, pull up, Ryan. This movie is a big fucking bummer about being a teenage girl, and I'll say it up top, spoiler, I hated Spicoli. I fucking hated him every time he was on screen. He was so annoying.
You dick.
Well, Jackie, I don't know what to say. I could not get to class on time.
I say this also up top, Clueless, directed by Amy Heckling, director of this film, one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it is a more stylized and structured, because it is, of course, following the plot of the novel Emma. And I think it is, in many ways, the more refined version of a lot of what we get here. And I know that's a different vibe, different stories. This is a chill out movie, you know, slice of life in many ways. But the Jennifer Jason Leigh storyline is so fucking depressing. Like, it just is.
I think that this movie is good. I think it's a good movie. But I also think it is a huge bummer of a movie. Like, I feel like it is a very... I would describe this movie almost as, like, harrowing a bit.
At times.
Like, it's...
it's funny, like...
I mean, it's a movie where... Oh, hi, Dave. It's a movie where a 26-year-old man has sex with a 15-year-old in a dugout while she's, like, staring at a... graffiti that says like surf Nazis. Like it's
That's a tag we see several times in this film. It's a
surf Nazis all over this movie.
It's like a grimy movie. It's good.
He takes her there specifically. That's anyway. Anyway,
did
sorry.
Did you see? I mean, like, we'll obviously zoom in a minute before we zoom back out again. But just kind of up at the top, like again, I think it's a good movie. I like the movie quite a bit. But I do think it's like, this isn't like a fun hangout movie. I don't think like, and there was in particular, like the response
well,
at the
it's,
time.
Well, first off, is this your guys' I take it this is your first time seeing this movie?
Yeah.
It's not my first time seeing it, but the first time I did see it was so long ago that I barely remember it.
Okay.
But yeah, I wanted to say that the quote at the time, Ebert, who didn't like the movie but then eventually came back around to like the movie later again, you know, he's like,
he called it scuzz bucket, I think he called something it along those lines.
He called it a scuzz pit of a movie, which I don't think is wrong. Like,
the man was a poet.
Yeah,
you have to admit.
But yeah,
what can you say? The guy doesn't like reality. What can I tell you?
I think there could be a disconnect with the movie because I do think it's kind of, it has this place in culture that's just Spicoli, and it's just Spicoli doing like and you kind of go, I think a lot of people, it seems like the place in culture it has is that it's like a lighthearted romp of like, oh, remember high school?
It's like the image of them like falling out of the bus with the
hot boxing van.
Yeah,
it's a bit of the like, for
unless
maybe,
about the abortion,
maybe everyone felt this way about Saturday Night Fever, but it was a bit like the experience of watching Saturday Night Fever, where I was like, all right, yeah, let's watch John Travolta dance, and next thing I know, there's like that movie happening. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, well, I wasn't ready for
this. This is kind of, I think you nailed on something. This is based, this is kind of like the, it's interesting, these movies that pop up, these generational movies about like, you know, the life of teens or whatever. Like, we saw the 70s version in Saturday Night Fever. This is like the Gen X version with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And this same summer of 1982, we had the boomer nostalgia trip with Diner. So it's like, we've had a lot of different run-ins with these types of movies on the show before.
I would say we're still in boomer nostalgia with Fast Times.
And we always will be.
Yes.
Well, this is Gen X. This is Gen X.
This wouldn't be Gen X. High school.
Gen X was 1970.
1970, yeah. But you would have, I guess, just barely Gen X if it's 1970.
No, this is prime Gen X. They would have been in high school.
They would have only been 12 if Gen X
this
is 1970.
Like late 60s to, you know,
yeah.
Like,
you would have had to have been born. I think
these are not boomers, though. No way, these are boomers.
The last of the boomers, maybe. I mean, if you
look it up, look it up. I think you need to be refreshed on what a Gen Xer as a boomer is.
Well, I'm just saying, if Gen X is...
I'm going to call Amy Heckerling right now.
Get her on the
horn. If Gen X is 1970, they would have been 12 years old in 1982, is all I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
Which, I checked, is not quite high school age.
I think, not to quibble with that, but I think it is worth asking, like, who is the audience for this film in 1982? Is it the young people, or is it for the adult audience in a kind of like Euphoria TV show way of like, isn't this wild what the kids are up to, sort of kind of
thing? The history of this is obviously like, it's a So Cameron Crowe wrote it. Mm-hmm. Amy Heckerling directed it. And Cameron Crowe didn't just like write this out of nowhere. This was adapted from a piece he did where he, I'm sure in a very uncreepy way, went undercover in a high school for a while and wrote about it.
Okay, to that point, one of my other favorite films is Almost Famous. He was like a teen or like...
Oh, that was Cameron Crowe,
like,
yeah.
Doing that shit, you know? It was that intrepid teen reporter ass.
Yeah, and so I wonder like how much of this is... I'll say like something I like about it, and you kind of get it with Dazed and Confused later, is... It seems like a very, for the time especially, like kind of real portrayal of teens. Like some of the stuff it talks about some heavy subject matter here, and they're kind of handled like matter of factly. Like when she gets an abortion, you know, and this again, but bringing up Saturday Night Fever, geez, I can't believe I like these movies. But yeah, like that, I think that's an interesting angle. Like Spicoli is kind of the only like, feels like he's like almost from a different movie. Like he's like from an Animal House or something like that. But yeah, the rest of these characters feel like they're much more grounded. Like I even kind of feel like, you know, there's one of the figures almost has like a Al Brooks, like Woody Allen kind of vibe to him.
Nerd.
Yeah. The guy who, by the way, anyone else think that guy looks like a lot like Ryan when he was in high school?
Wow, it's a shame he's not on this episode.
Also, both like, both worked in a movie theater.
I was gonna say.
That's not a dig on Ryan. Like Ryan was
this is the Ryan type.
The whole reason that character is the character does like get Jennifer Jason Leigh in the end.
Yeah,
but the only thing that's like
his worst crimes are being like a little bit of a wuss.
Yeah, it's his
he's
personality
too nerdy for his own good.
His personality that sucks, not his looks.
Yeah. No, he's a good-looking guy. And again...
I mean, Ryan's already fuming about this episode, so I just want to be clear. This wasn't meant as an insult. I was just this looks so much like teen Ryan. And he works in a movie theater.
Back in the era when you still had to wear like a bow tie and a dress-up shirt and everything.
We can start at the top, but when we see him as part of that opening montage and he's ripping tickets and saying like smoking section upstairs, it's like mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many 80s ass things about this movie, but god.
When we were talking about Poltergeist, we kind of mentioned like some of the 80s hallmarks. Poltergeist has nothing on 80s hallmarks in the way that Fast Times at Ridgemont High does. It opens with the mall, which is like a staple of the 80s. Every character in the movie is in the mall in the opening that we see.
Exactly. It seems like the whole town is there. Like it's a bustling like Friday or Saturday night kind of thing.
This is what you did at the time. And cards on the table. I love this movie. This is one of those movies for me where like it doesn't really happen anymore because I don't watch broadcast TV. But like The Hunt for Red October or for some reason The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. There's a handful of movies like if they're on.
There's some very different genres, but
very different genres. But for whatever reason, they pull me in and I gotta watch them to the very end. And this one's a very easy one to watch from the end if you just happen to catch it because it's under an hour and a half long. This is a very short movie
with credits.
With credits and
beginning and
end. And
some needle drops. So it's you're right. It is easy to watch, even though again there's
some dark shit in here. And I think you're right. Like the Spicoli subplot in this movie is the cartoonish of the bunch. Everyone else in this movie is pretty. As maybe with the exception of Vincent Schiavelli as like the zonked out like bio teacher or whatever, like he's a little cartoony, but everyone else is pretty down to earth and real, I feel. And in looking at the trivia, and like
especially Jennifer Jason Leigh, like
apparently they screened this movie, they did a test screening I think in like Orange County or something like that, and it got bad reviews, and at the time the producer was like, this isn't a movie for those people, this isn't a movie for conservatives, like because apparently the test reviews were like, this movie is saying that teenagers are like into nothing but like drugs and sex, blah blah blah.
It's but just my like, children right. don't do that. Yeah. It's like, don't worry, none of your kids have had an abortion.
I think you're right with Saturday Night Fever. This is like this generation's version of that.
Well, and it's I would say a more moneyed version too. Like that, this one of the very important scenes takes place in a pool house that you know,
which got very much cut down.
Yeah, there was originally, like, that was one of the fun facts I saw, is the original cut of this movie had them both being naked, and Amy Heckerling was like, I want to show the awkwardness of teen sexuality. Well, that wasn't her quote, Dave.
she did not say Don.
All right, let me call Amy again. Let me get her on the phone.
The record does not reflect what you saying, Dong.
What I saw Amy Heckerling said, and maybe you have different sources, Dave, was that she wanted to portray the awkwardness of teen sexuality and thought that there should be gender equality when it comes to showing the nude form. But the MPA was like, nope, we can show boobs, but we can't show Dong.
Yeah, I mean, I see where she's coming from. And also, I also know that they were never going to let her show Dong.
I do think, though, that it's like worth mentioning about the nudity in this movie. Like, it does feel like, I mean, there's one part that's clearly objectifying, right? Sure. But that almost feels like the kind of what's going on in the movie.
The most famous gif from this movie.
Right. But but for the most part, like the nudity in this is not,
it's
not like really
clinical.
Like, yes. It's not sexy. And, or I guess I would say, like, it doesn't feel like it's meant to be titillating.
Every time you see Jennifer Jason Leigh's boobs, it's just like, oh God. Well, I wish she wasn't here. Oh, well, I wish she wasn't in this situation.
Jennifer Jason Leigh,
but the character, you know,
she is the star of this movie. It's her movie. I don't think it's debatable. She is the star of this movie. Like, she is the central. It opens with her. She is the strongest plot thread through this.
She was
movie.
20 years old when this came out, which is crazy because she looks like such a kid.
Oh yeah. She's
playing a 15-year-old. Well, the character is supposed to be 15.
Right.
No, it's
It's crazy. Like, when I forgot how old young she was. When the movie opens and you see her in the pizza parlor in the mall, it's like, she's not even in high school yet. And then, because I know what scene's about to come. Mm-hmm. Her and the scuzz bucket, as Ebert
and
would say,
like,
26-year-old stereo salesman. And it's like, yeah, you're onto something where it's like, this movie has a reputation of being this Animal House like comedy, but in my opinion, this is more of a kind of, this is a dramedy. This is heavy, more emphasis. I mean, I think that the comedy for me comes from like the awkward scenarios, specifically with like the, we'll just call him the Ryan character, when he's trying to like date Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, and you know, those awkward scenes like that, and obviously the Spicoli stuff is a lot of comedy, but like, this is to me more just like a slice of life of the time. It feels real to me because, like we said, a lot of, with the exception of Spicoli, a lot of the characters just feel down to earth to me.
If anyone's out at home, you know, listening, unless you're driving in the wastelands, Google Brian Baker, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and tell me that doesn't. That's the guy who plays Ryan in high school.
Okay. Plays Ryan.
Just if anyone's curious and wants to decide for themselves. But
he's called Rat in the movie.
Yeah, Rat.
Like his
nickname. he's called Rat. I think something that's like interesting about this movie up front too is Linda's the Jason Leigh character, right?
Stacy.
Or Stacy. Linda's her friend. Linda's Phoebe Cates. Stacy's not like, her kind of whole motivation is like trying to get laid, basically. Like, she's trying to have sex with different people throughout this movie.
Well, like,
it's kind of like her figuring out sex, and she's not
in like a checklist way. It's like, I need to do this. I'm going into high school now. Like, I need to do it's. She's like,
well,
on a
no,
mission. In
there's
this
no
movie.
Like, I would expect any movie, certainly back then, even now, to kind of have like digs about like, what a slut, or like, she's being a slut.
I know, I was expecting that to come several times, and it didn't. I was like, okay. But it's so interesting because like, her very matter of fact way about it, it like, it kind of emphasizes how childlike she is. And especially that first exchange with like her and Linda, when Linda's like, or I think it's when they're leaving the mall or something, when Linda's like, yeah, just have sex with him. Like, it's not a big deal. I did it when I was 13. Like, it's totally fine. And it's just like this super casual, horrifying thing she says that is just like, again, just like emphasizing
I don't think Linda has had sex.
Well,
there's some clues to this because when Stacy is giving her that, like, I forget what it's like, test your mate quiz or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, do you guys like climax together? Like, have you climaxed with so-and-so? And she's like, yeah, I mean, I think so. It's like,
yeah, I think Linda's like, give,
like Simone.
She's putting on a front. She's like, she feels insecure and she's just giving what she thinks is supposed to be like.
You're right. It is still a horrifying thing for her to say, even just of like, in that just that kid way of you're just like, yeah, no, I've totally like slept with like 100 people and you're like both 14 and losers or whatever. But yeah, just that it emphasizes that they're so young that this is something a kid would think is like the way that you're supposed to have sex. It's just like, well, I guess you just go do it and then, you know, it'll hurt, but like a couple times later it won't. And then again, that's like such a fucking bummer.
It's like she doesn't really know anything. It's wild that it's wild that, like, because I feel like the movie is saying her first experience is not good. Like, none of this is good. Yeah. There's a clear age difference here. Like, there's like an 11 year age difference. She's just getting into high school.
Yeah. I mean, like, the quote unquote date that she goes on is literally just getting picked up, taken to the point, which I'm like, all right, is this going to be like a skeezy makeout point? And it's like even skeezier than that. It's like a dugout with, like, a, you know,
he brings a blanket to lay down to fuck her on.
It's like where it's like a place where people go to like shoot up heroin or something.
Yes.
it's extra sad because like a little bit later we hear another character refer to it, but it's two teens, which makes more sense. This is the like 26-year-old taking her there. Like, you are a fucking creep.
The way he hits on her too is like, I'll have a Coke, a meatball sandwich, and your phone number.
That kind of gets at something I think this movie does pretty effectively. It's a point of view that I think is interesting, that I think it does a good job showing, like that 26-year-old stereo salesman, like Spicoli. I think it kind of shows like these people you think in high school are like, whoa, they're so cool. But they're not. That guy's crazy, or, you know, like, he's like sad,
annoying losers.
Yeah, those people, like, a lot of the people you thought were cool in high school were some of the biggest losers.
Well, especially the Brad character. Like, he starts the movie like is popular. Oh, yeah. Like, he's driving up in his car that he's gonna pay off. He works at the best fast food place in town, All American Burger.
Yeah, everyone knows.
That's totally In-N-Out, right? That's like All American Burger.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he has this whole thing.
He goes from not in and out to not Long John Silver's.
Oh, it's so humiliating.
And he has this whole thing. Like, his character arc is like, he's the coolest guy in school. Everyone loves him. Like, all the babes check him out. Like, and he's at a point where it's like, yeah, I'm dating the hottest girl in school, but it's like, I need my freedom. I'm senior.
I love this arc. It's the classic, like, I'm on top of the world. Nothing can get me. And like, I'm going to kick down everyone else. But then, wait a minute, I actually need all them. Like,
there was, what does he say in that part too, where he's like, this is going to be the best year of my life.
This could be the best year of my life.
That one's more satirical, but another check in the bummer category.
And then one jerkwad at All American Burger had to ruin everything.
Yeah. God.
May I help you?
Yes. This is not the best breakfast I ever ate, and I'd like my money back.
I believe you have to fill out a form for that.
No, I'd like my money back now.
I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You see, I have to fill out a form, and, well, you ate most of it already, so...
You see that sign? It says 100% guaranteed. You know what the meaning of guarantee is? Did they teach you that here?
Sir, if you just wait a minute...
Look, just put your little hand back in the cash register and give me my $2.75 back, please, Brad.
Sir, if you just give me a minute, I'll find the forms. I'll take care of everything.
I don't have a minute. You've made me late enough. I am so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
This, as a brief side note,
who, customers are like that.
This, well, the customers are definitely like that, but in a real movie thing, unless this is something that they like, similar to the 30 minutes or free deal back in the day, who offers a quote 100% guaranteed best breakfast? What even is that?
I like the idea, though. I think it's a common thing, especially in fast food places run poorly, where they will promise the moon and then leave like a teen out to like figure out what that means. You know, like I can imagine the Burger King have it your way campaign back then. You know, I can imagine some incidents like this. You said I could have it my way, and I asked for 15 beef patties. That's my way.
And then and the
smug satisfaction this guy takes when he gets Brad fired. Like, that was his whole goal all along.
Imagine the kind of person who's like, I just got a teen fired because didn't like my burger at, like, a fast food place. Because
they didn't comp my 275.
Yeah, well, it's not even they wouldn't do it. He was willing to do it. He's like, you just have to fill out this form.
Nope.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to fill out a form.
I'm in a hurry. I need my almost $3 right now.
I know. I was going to buy a house with that later today.
That was my college tuition fund for my kids.
Yeah, that's for all three of my kids.
$1 per kid.
Per kid. They're going to Harvard.
You know, with inflation, I remember when my grandparents used to go to college, it was 50 cents per kid. Now it's $1.
But you know, it's funny. Like, as we're talking, we're making it sound like Brad is like a true asshole character. But again, like most of the characters in this movie, I feel like they're kind of fleshed out. Like later on, when we get to the abortion plot with
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
He comes through for his sister, and he's not expecting anything from her. It's not like he's extorting her, like, well, now you need a favor from me, or nothing like that. He's just like, who did it?
I think
you get
this,
the sense, like, I'm going to beat this fucker up, whoever did it.
We can't forget, teens kind of suck.
Yeah.
And they're not fully formed yet, and I think this does a good job with
that's
that.
That's the thing with as we've said, most kind of sexualized scene, which, again, is on purpose because it's literally him having a fantasy about the character Linda. It's like, it's over the top, but also the most realistic thing of being a teen is like seeing your sister's friend in a bathing suit and then immediately being like horny about it. And it's just like,
what would her boobs look like? And she takes her top off. For some reason in this fantasy of his, he's wearing a suit. I'm like, what's that all about?
He's looking fancy.
Was it not still his dorky?
No, it was like a black Men in Black style suit, and it got me wondering.
Even
like,
dorkier.
Well, it got me wondering maybe if that's a thing, because at this point in the movie, he's lost his job at All American Burger. He's now working at this like again not Long John Silver's, and he's wearing this ridiculous outfit, and it's like a big thing in the movie. He's like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
So maybe in his mind, he's just like, no, my fantasy, I'm like a rich, successful.
I'm James Bond.
Yes.
I want Roger Moore himself. About the fantasy thing, I have a fan theory.
Yeah.
So I think Spicoli.
Okay.
Does not surf.
You dick!
I do not think he is a surfer. Even though everyone calls him the surfer,
he has a surfboard.
He has a surfboard. We never see this man surf. We never see him by the water, which maybe you will tell me, oh, that's a filming thing. They just didn't want to pay to film at the beach. Whatever. I think because we do see his fantasy. That's the only time we see him like a surfing adjacent is his fantasy where he's like being like interviewed for some like surf award or whatever.
One of those.
But that's my theory about this movie is I don't think Spicoli actually surfs.
I don't know. I would argue it's probably just a budget thing, but...
I like the idea that he's just like, because I don't think this, I think this
he's
guy,
just totally
I think if
a
Spicoli
poser.
Paddled
only
out
weed.
To the beach on a surfboard, he would never come back. He would drown.
He would immediately drown.
This man is so far gone. He is not, there's no way he's able to do anything.
It's kind of it's a bummer as we're talking, like the Spicoli thing is the most like ridiculous part of the movie in terms of like, you know, compared to everything else. Like
he's in a different movie, like
it's
that
just
whole
like,
thing.
Every time he shows up and takes his stupid shirt off, I'm like, why is this fucking guy here? What are we doing?
I didn't have that bad of a reaction to Spicoli. Like I was amused by the whole thing. Like, I like, my favorite thing was the dynamic between him and the hard-nosed teacher.
I did, I did like that, and I did like how that wrapped up and with like the teacher creative, coming to his house.
I like the creative punishment, like that he would dole out. Like, you have the there's a give and take, like
it gets into like Bugs Bunny stuff.
Yes,
and
where Spicoli's smiling, the scene where Spicoli's in class smiling, and the teacher's like, "Why are you smiling?" And like, "Oh, nothing." And then a pizza delivery guy shows up because he delivered pizza. That's a good bit. Jackie, you have to admit that's a good bit Spicoli.
And it's an even better one-up when Mr. Hands is like, all right, well, I'm just going to take your pizza and give it to the class.
It wouldn't have been, if that scene had been him being like, Spicoli to detention, that wouldn't have been that cool of a scene. But the fact that he's like, all right, here's my creative Dante in hell level.
Everyone eat his
pizza. Yes, class, enjoy this fine feast. And he's relishing in it. He's like, as they're coming up, he's like, make sure you get a good piece. Like, I love that. I love that stuff.
He is hamming it up. I like it. He loves hamming it up at the kids.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
It's like, I kind of, you know, the scene we get at the end when Mr. Hand comes to Spicoli's house, while Spicoli is high, the highest he's been in the movie, he's so high that he can hit himself in the head with a shoe and he doesn't feel anything.
This was a sobriety test.
This bit was almost like you cut that to different music and it's like a scene from Requiem for a Dream.
And I'm just imagining, like, imagine the horror of being high in high school. You're about to go to your school dance.
Your friend's going to pick
you
up.
You just got off the phone with your friend. And then your most hated teacher comes in and he's just like, we're going to have a history lesson. Like,
yes, we're having a pop quiz.
What's going through your mind
now
at that point?
I don't think
who
anything
lets you in
is
here?
Going,
you can't do this.
Nothing is going through his mind. And the teacher knows he's stoned. I don't think there's no way this guy doesn't reek of weed. And he's in his room where he just did tons of bong hits. He's got Playboy
the bong's
posters
still out,
everywhere.
One can
but it's
assume.
Like, it's interesting because there's like a thing here. One thing about this movie, it is very fast. As we said, it's under 90 minutes with credits.
Fast
And it just jumps fast.
Fast times.
It jumps from scene to scene. It really is a sort of a collage of several vignettes throughout the school year.
Yeah, the seasons and it's like, of the school year.
Yeah, and we get the beginning of the end of summer. We get Christmas. You know, we get spring, summer again.
It's a Gary Marshall, like, as you will.
It is, and also like, the structure of the movie Clueless.
But it's like,
again, a more refined version.
It's both a criticism and a for me, and I think also a strength, because it's like, as you said, like the best criticism in given movie is like, I just wanted more. You know what I mean? And I kind
of
feel that way at times with this.
I wanted more of the real shit. Yeah.
I feel that way at times with this, especially with Spicoli and Mr. Hand, because like it's introduced at the end with that thing. It's like, I'm going to keep you here and I'm going to basically teach you a lesson. And then the next time we cut back to them, the scene is resolved. He's like giving him the summation. And it's like, I kind of wanted more of that relationship a little bit.
Yeah, it would have been like, there was an opportunity for, I think, maybe like a sweeter payoff there where there's a little bit more bonding between them. Like,
yeah,
it's
that's
like
what I would have liked.
Almost going to that direction, and it kind of, I think it leaves it like, I don't know, I'm not saying this is a criticism, but I think it kind of leaves it like a little ambiguous or a little unresolved.
I think that because it's the last day of the school year and the finals and everything, and I think the suggestion is, it's like, I bet Mr. Hand's probably just like, I don't want to teach you again. It's like, but I want to make sure that you at least like applied yourself once this school year, that you could show me that you can do it. And I'm satisfied. And that's kind of it. Like, again, it's just like, it's good, but it's like so condensed. It's like, I kind of wish there was a bit more, you know?
Yeah, we but don't again, really that, ever get to see.
That's a great criticism to give to like a movie. It's like, I just wanted more.
we don't ever get to see like what Spicoli. It would have been interesting to see a moment of Spicoli where he is like squeaking by, or, as it were. Like,
yeah.
Or not stoned. Yeah, some like something there to latch on to.
Well, I feel like the most we get is that realization he has. He's like, is there a guy like me in every class that you have to like make an example of? You know what I mean? He realizes what Mr. Hand is doing for him in that moment.
Yeah, it's like this is one human moment.
Yeah.
But don't worry.
But yeah, he is a cartoon character.
Remember when
sure.
he walked into remember when he walked into class late and he didn't have a shirt on and he had a half of a bagel sticking out of his pants?
That was so random of him. Oh my God.
I can't believe like the professor like or the prof the high school teacher. Like he was like, "Oh, why are you late?" blah blah. And like the whole time I was thinking like, "How is he not just like, dude, what the hell is going on with the bagel sticking out of
shirt.
Your
shirt? What's with that shirt?
You're not wearing a shirt. Like, you look like an insane person right now."
It was me turning into an old lady in the audience going like, button up your goddamn shirt.
Well, as you said earlier, Jackie, like in every scene, like in the scene, like in the beginning, after we get, you know, all the characters established in the mall, he walks into All American Burger with his friends, Eric Stoltz and Anthony Edwards in their first movies.
All three of them take their fucking shirts off.
Yes.
Jackie, you're upset and you're outraged, but is this not teens?
Yeah, it's teens doing stupid bullshit for no reason.
Certainly in 1982. That's, as we said,
Jackie, I'm looking at the poster of Fast Times at Ridgemont High and it says, in quotes, teens doing stupid bullshit for no reason.
That's
I don't know what to tell you.
That's a teen's favorite thing. And it's a teen boy's specifically favorite thing is to do that in public and make it everyone else's problem.
As I said earlier, I think this movie is like an interesting time capsule of this period. And Spicoli aside, I feel like the characters in it are like, they feel like real representations of kids of this time.
They feel like real kids, I think, you know, of any age, like, or of any time. I think that's like probably why this is a movie that is endured and been so popular, is I think it is like it, I think it captures the teen experience very well, regardless. I mean, it is definitely of its time for sure, but it's, I think, still able to be broader than that.
And I will, again, to my bummer point, is that, you know, comedy can become very dated very quickly, but tragedy endures, because what's more tragic and enduring than a teen girl who thinks that this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'll do it, rather than I want to have pleasure.
I think some of that like negative reception initially to this movie, because it wasn't just Ebert, from what I saw, it was kind of like generally not really well liked. I mean, it had some people liking it, but yeah, critically,
sure,
it was super popular.
I mean, it is
obviously
a boner comedy in many ways.
Well, but that's what I think a lot of people went in expecting, and like critics kind of thought it was like a, you know, like a Porky's, basically.
Yeah, and it is not.
And it, or an Animal House. Is something I saw referenced a lot of, like, oh, like another Animal House or another Porky's. And it's not that. I think today still people, maybe this is wrong because I haven't seen this very often. I've only seen this once, like when I was a kid. But it feels like it has a Porky's place in culture. That's kind of what I was saying earlier, but it's not that kind of a movie.
I think the big thing about the movie is when Rat's friend Simone, the scalper, like basically his Linda, that's like, oh, I know how to do all these things, this is how you talk to a girl, like it's the parallel there,
yeah,
the two friends,
she's and, like, wowed by his confidence, and then they hook up, and it's
the most awkward, terrible first sex ever.
He
immediately leaves and is embarrassed, and then he immediately stops talking to her, and she gets pregnant. And again, like this movie treats this in a very serious way, where she confronts him about it, and he immediately, of course, you know, being a shitty teenager, or just a guy, is just like, hey, you wanted it more than I did. She's like, no, dude, no. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. He knows
he's kind of like Spicoli here, where he like barely squeaks by ethically. You know,
in many ways, yeah. He like is also a, you know, a sad character, in that like clearly he's such a, you know, try hard, like striving, insecure guy who's trying to bullshit all over the place, but doesn't have the goods because he comes in 2 seconds. And that he's projecting all of that onto her because he, you know, is his ego is hurt. And then he tries to do the right thing and tries to get the money. But when he fails at that, he does the worst thing. And he just leaves her hanging.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And she is so matter of fact about it, that which is itself heartbreaking, where she's like, well, I guess I'll just do it myself. And in this brief moment that made me laugh, of the abortion clinic across the street from the bowling alley.
This isn't played for laughs.
But the placement of these locations did make me chuckle.
And it's also like not, I think impressively, not melodramatic.
No,
like,
it's very matter of fact.
It feels real. And I think it's kind of like, just go do it. In some ways, like the climax of the movie, where it really is about, you know, Fast Times. I saw Amy Hedick. Heckerling. Amy Heckerling was saying that part of how she saw the Fast Times was the characters are like growing up fast, like things are happening as they're teens, and this is probably the biggest example of that. Like, the journey of this person kind of like,
she has a hell of a year again
with
this
sex,
is
and then she yeah. has to get an abortion, and like the both of these characters, the shitty guy and Stacy, they're now like put in this position where like they're basically kids, but they're in this very adult situation where they have to make a decision, and you know they're both not ready for it, and he totally fails, you know, the test, and she kind of, I guess you get the sense, rises up to it, and in that she handled this, I think, the way you'd want an adult to handle it. Yeah, I guess, you know, just, I'm not saying whether or not she got the abortion, but just that she,
no, it's just like
seemed like she just kind of thought about it, you know, made the right choice, where you get the feeling he ran away back to mommy, you know, he ran away back to being a kid, mm-hmm. and wasn't ready to rise to be an adult.
And you also get, and plus for her,
it's a good movie. Like, it's a good movie.
Say again?
I just said it's a good movie, Dave.
Yeah. Well, and also at this point in the movie, like, you know, cause it seems like her sole focus is like, it seems like this is just being thrust upon her from like a societal, like, or from like a kid's perspective going into high school. It's like, well, this is just what kids do. My friend Linda talks about this all the time. Like, it's no big deal. So I got to do it too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Linda's not doing it.
And she's not doing it. That's the hell of it.
Linda's storyline also ongoing. She has a quote, Canadian fiance, who is in his 20s, mark, which I guess seems kind of fake until she's crying about it at like the dance at the end. So I don't know. I'm sure there's fan theories about that too. But sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I don't think the guy is real. I don't think the Canadian boyfriend who lasts for 40 minutes.
Well, that she was obviously lying about.
I think everything about him is like, it's like she always gives like the Canadian boyfriend was the joke. Like that was the,
it probably is. Huh? Fiance.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. I think this movie, you know, like the complaints, like this is just like a sex movie. I'm like, it is. It really, that's kind of the thrust of the movie, is like, this is what kids are thinking about in high school, is sex, 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 sex. But
drugs, fast food.
And that's about the more cartoony angle of it. But like the sex portion, it's like, you know, as we say, she has like the worst first sex she could possibly have with like this 26-year-old predator who in the worst possible place with surf Nazi paraphernalia everywhere. And again, I really think the movie does a good job of showing how terrible this is, like, because you get it from her point of view, like it's this shitty dank area. Like she looks up and the camera pans up awkwardly and it's like surf Nazis, and it's just and it's interesting on her too,
face. But again though, like I would say it's not his, when you're I'm just listening to you describe it, it's not Requiem for a Dream, which is like an
it's not that dark.
I think it has a good tone where I think it's real. Like I think that this might be the Amy Heckerling of it all, but it feels like a very it feels like the point of view is from Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. And it feels kind of like the tone is a bit of like,
To your point, Jackie, it is sad and a bummer because like her reaction after this, it's like, it hurt, but like, I liked it. I like him. You know what? I think I wish we could be boyfriend and girlfriend. Cause like, there's a couple scenes later where it's like, I haven't spoken to him since November, you know, and she's bummed about it. And it's like, she hasn't learned that. Yes. She hasn't had that lesson yet of like the abortion of like, this is how bad this could get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And did he send her flowers? Did he send her
flowers and then ghosted her?
Is that, yeah.
And
then ghosted
her. Yeah. It is again like the bummer of it is that she and that, you know, a lot of feminists have made this point about women in relationship to sex and sexuality, that she's kind of like you said earlier, she's going through it almost like a checklist and not because she knows how to want pleasure for herself, really, but just that she's told that, like, well, it's what you do. And you want boys to like you, don't you? Because you're a girl, and
that's all they talk about in that pizza parlor.
Yeah, you want to be pretty, don't you? And boys like pretty girls, and you know, just have sex, even though it's gonna hurt. Like that, it's such a but yeah, it's you know, you hope to in my fan fiction, she you know grows up a little bit and thinks back on some things and thinks back to like. That first time with the stereo salesman guy was just like, it's just to reference another 80s teen sex romp, looking back and being like, oh, that was assault. You know that story of Molly Ringwald and the girl from 16 Candles were like out to lunch or something during the Me Too era and were like, hey, you know how that story of Molly Ringwald was like, yeah, you know that whole storyline with yours where you're passed out and your boyfriend like basically sells you to the other boy. That was like really fucked up. That was assault. And the other woman's just like, oh, you know, I never really thought of it like that, blah, blah. And then like they, you know, lunch was over. They parted ways. And then the woman afterwards texted Molly Ringwald and she was like, wow, I really never thought of it like that. Wow, you're right. That's really fucked up. Like it's kind of that thing where like the character Stacy years later is gonna be like
with Molly Ringwald.
She's gonna be like, wait, that happened to me. She's gonna be telling the story kind of matter of fact, kind of as a funny story, and then someone she's hanging out with, like a friend or a loved one's gonna be like, oh my god, he was 26. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. I mean, to be clear, this is a 26-year-old who basically just like picked up a 15-year-old, had sex with her, and
he never thought she was 19, but it was, you know, which is not really illegal, but still sketch. But still treated her very creepily and, you know, disposably. And it's exactly that kind of situation where, and even the one with, you know, the, what is his name? The scalper guy.
Simone.
So yeah, of that scene, I find really interesting because the lead up to it, there is something like
Damone. I'm sorry, Damone.
Damone. Like there is a kind of, you know, awkward but sexy lead up where she's like kind of into his attitude or his whole thing, and like his fake confidence.
she should have been trying to mac on Charles Jefferson, played by Forrest Whitaker.
Well, hey, that's you gotta shoot for the stars, but
we haven't,
you know,
talked about, by the
which
way,
which we'll get to but in that lead up, it's different than the first time where it feels like she is, you know, like maybe gonna have an experience that like she's excited by, or like that feels good, and then of course it is over in 2 seconds because he's a child. I think that's the kind of experience that she, you know, could, the character would look back on and be just like, oh, that's just kind of a funny story.
Oh, and it's like,
oh, that was assaulted.
And it's like it's only her second time at this point. Like afterwards, she's more like confused when he leaves, like what?
Yeah.
And then and then the next scene is her asking Linda, Phoebe Cates, like, how long does so-and-so last? you know.
Right. And that's when Linda's like, anything. Oh, my guy usually lasts like 30 to 40 minutes. I guess an hour or minutes. Something. And then she's like, well, didn't you say like 25 to 30? She's like, oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
But she's still into Damone at this point. Like, she sees him after, like, hey, you want to hang out or whatever? He's like, no, I got to go. And then she's just sort of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So it's like, it is. It's a bummer.
Well, I think that's like the thing about this is like this arc is really like her figuring out what she wants in sex and like what she wants in a relationship. And I think some of this at the beginning is like she doesn't have a baseline for anything. So
because again,
just
she's
like,
a child.
Okay, this is like she's really like a child. She's kind of just like taking in information rather than like acting on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when she has like even before she meets Damone, like she has that date with Mike, the Brian character.
Yeah. Oh, and then you know, she tries to initiate and he.
He's just too nervous about
he's
it.
Too he's too much of a wuss.
Yeah. And he leaves, and that there's a moment when he's outside. He reconsiders her moments, like, maybe I should, like, talk to her again. And then her light shuts off, and he's like, all right, never mind. And she tells her friend afterward, it's just like, no, I made the first move. I made the second move. He is not into me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he's not realizing, he's like, no, it's not that. It's just, like, he's just too crippled with, you know, anxiety to do anything.
They end up
getting together at the end. It's just like
they get to know each other better, you know.
She has the line where she's like, "I think what I'm into is romance."
I love that of just like that the jadedness of a 15-year-old to be like, sex is boring.
It's fast times at Ridgemont High.
Got to grow up fast. You know what? I'm over casual sex. Person who's had sex two times.
Yeah, I've had casual sex for a combined total of 1 minute and 30 seconds.
I mean, to be fair, it's like she had to go through that whole experience of getting an abortion. So it's like that. At
15, that'll do. That'll
that's
do.
That's gonna, you know, change you.
Oh, 100. Yeah.
I would say so.
I bet I'd be like, yeah, let's.
At the very least,
how about we go to the church hopscotch game or whatever.
At the very least, I hope her brother afterwards was like, hey, I'll buy you an ice cream or whatever. And also, like, let's buy some condoms, girl. Like,
yeah,
keep these on your person. All right. Safe sex is important. Don't get pregnant.
Yeah, that's
and
really
do, again, I really like how real this movie is and its depictions of those things where it's just like that sex is awkward as fuck. Like you see again, they apparently showed more. Amy Heckling really wanted to get into the awkwardness of it all of teenage sex. But it's like you see that. I think
the world wasn't ready.
You kind of get all of it with like just how short it is, but also like that awkward shot of like he's in his socks and he's like, ugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like he's like pushing his underwear down past his socks and like it's and it is over in literally like 3, 2, 1. There we go.
It's kind of like fun sound design too, because doesn't kind of the music kind of kick in?
Her idealized version of sex. Like, okay, great. Like, you know, somebody.
It's like I'm your baby or something.
Somebody's baby. It's like it kicks in immediately, and she's like, okay, finally. Like, it kicks in every time, I think, when she's about to.
Yeah,
have sex
it also.
Sex.
Yep.
But I love how it like awkwardly cuts out. Like, you know, like when he.
And he's just like, ah, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Are you okay?
Oh, I think I came. Didn't you feel it?
Yeah, I guess I did.
I gotta go, Stacy. I really gotta go.
The scene is like, it's awkward, it's kind of sexy, it's funny, but then that the bit of she's just like laying there and he's like pulling his clothes on and he just goes like he says like bye and she's like bye. And well, it's just again, like so sad.
Like we said, it's done again. Like it's not titillating. Like it's very clinical. Like the way that she's framed on it, there's almost a moment where she's just like it almost like not that she tries to cover herself necessarily, but it's almost
but
just
like sort of curling in on herself, in a way. And again, it's like obviously she's like a good looking, you know, woman, but it's not titillating. And it feels, she feels young and nervous when you look at her.
Yeah.
And God, and this movie, again, I'm not saying it's bad, but it is a fucking bummer.
You weren't ready for how real it was going to be.
I think,
even on the poster, it's like, this movie's Spicoli, isn't it?
Yeah, the poster, I'm going to describe it.
Pop this van.
It's Spicoli looking like, huh? And like, yeah. Jason Lee and Phoebe Cates, like, two pretty, who are in this poster, just playing pretty ladies, dressed in revealing outfits, are bending over on his shoulder. Behind him is a surfboard, and in front of him is a bunch of like garbage.
And that's what the movie's about.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You think it's going to be like the wacky Spicoli show?
And it's just like, I knew going in there was going to be the abortion. But I knew also if like there's gonna be some sort of
I was
dumb stuff.
I was shocked, frankly. Like I did.
I love that for you.
I did one of those like, you know, you're watching a movie and it's like where it gets to the point where it's like I'm pregnant. You know, I do like a whoa. Like I didn't know we were going there.
It's similar to, or I, maybe not at this point in time because Dirty Dancing is so beloved, but that like abortion being very important to the storyline and like very much about like women's, you know, sexuality and like and etc. of just like, yeah, what's up, it's the 80s, we're talking about abortion for real. Get used to it.
Yeah, I you know, it's like I said, like I think you're right. I think in the zeitgeist this movie is the Spicoli show. He's on the poster. It's the lines that people remember from this movie.
Phoebe Cates, like,
sure. And Phoebe Cates. Yeah.
You're like,
Cates.
Oh yeah, this is an unironically funny, sexy movie. And you're like, well,
oh, wait just a minute. Doesn't anybody fucking knock anymore?
And that's meant to be like that's like one of the goofiest moments or craziest moments in the movie. Like she walks in on him jerking off.
Yeah.
And I love the look that she gives. Like, ugh.
I know.
Like,
it's a really funny face she makes.
It is objectively a funny scene. It caps off with him saying like, Jesus, doesn't anybody fucking knock anymore?
Just fucking knock?
And just the idea that he's in like this not Long John Silver's outfit while this is happening.
He didn't even take off his work uniform. He's just like, well, I saw a girl in a bathing suit for 5 seconds and I'm a horny 18-year-old. So.
And hasn't he already like, isn't this hot off of him hitting on a girl while he's wearing the outfit and he had his hat on?
I think that's a little later movie,
yeah.
But yeah, that he's emasculated in
his
car.
He's at his low point here.
He's repeatedly made fun of
in a
satisfying way, I would say.
But he does have
a fun arc at the end, the Brad character played by Judge Reinhold. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, he does a really good job playing this type. I was going to say the acting, it reminded me of Jason Segel. I mean, he kind of looks like Jason Segel.
It was very Jason Segel.
But he does a good job playing this sort of like lovable, like you love that he's failing. Like it's like, and not in a mean way though. It's not like I hate this guy, but he's just so good at like playing this dope, I guess, who's like, nothing's going right for him.
I feel like the movie kind of makes you pull for him a little bit, especially when he's talking to that shitty customer and he's like, I 100% guarantee breakfast. He's like, if you don't stop yelling at me, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
It's not like we could say that, dude. I get it.
It's not like I'm not rooting for him at times, but I just.
But he's a bit of a schmo.
He's just doing a really good job. He's selling it well. He's selling the like, oh gosh, darn. Like he has that energy in a very satisfying way.
Well, and especially, and I love the ending. It's a great ending to the movie where he's clearly gone through several jobs over this last school year, and now he's finally working at Mighty Mart, this convenience store. And Spicoli comes in, and he's like, "Why don't you get a job, Spicoli? You need money." Goes sends Spicoli to the bathroom,
and then we have the Clerks ending. The original ending to Clerks.
It could be a Clerks ending, yes. Where it's like, oh, is he going to get shot? Okay, here's a question. Did you guys think he was going to get shot here?
Yes.
No.
First thing that went into my head, because again, I don't know anything about
this
movie.
They're going to fucking kill him.
I thought, does he get killed? And is this why Kevin Smith wanted to end? Because we're saying, I don't know if you know, familiar with this deep Kevin Smith lore, Jackie, but Clerks, the movie, was originally going to end with them getting shot. Like a robbery.
Well, it did. It did end like that, but then when when the movie was released theatrically, they changed the ending.
Interesting.
And so my first thought was, oh, he's going to get shot, and that's where Kevin Smith got the idea.
I thought it was going to be something like really stupid with Spicoli, like saving the day or something like that, as like a lovable hero.
I
was much more satisfied that it was Brad's like throwing hot fucking coffee on this dude.
I think it's smart that they do this scene after the abortion, right?
Yeah.
Because
you need a laugh.
Well, no, I think for a minute when the robbery's going on. Too. Well, once you have the robbery going on, there is a bit of like, we don't know how far this movie's going to go. Like, they just had an abortion. Shoot him? Like, what if that's this guy's end, you know?
I liked, as you're saying, just the, like, you like to watch him suffer a little bit, where the guy is like, someone trying to rob the store with a gun, and he's like, open the safe, and he's like, okay, hurry up, he's like, they just trained me, like,
this is great acting here, I love
it's
this.
Bordering on like a
and classic
I think you should leave
teenage service, you know, they never know what they're doing at these stores.
What are you doing? It's safe behind the donuts.
I'm watching this place. I know what I'm doing. Open it up.
Okay, come on.
I just started here. They just taught me the procedure, and I let me figure it out.
Come on, shithead, let's go.
Get out of my case, motherfucker.
Well, I love the way he's like, they just taught me the procedure.
He's trying to think about it, and he's just like, leave me off.
I love his line. He's like, get off my case, motherfucker.
Get off my case was really good. That was my favorite part. Like, get off my case, man.
It's
come on. You're holding me up here.
Like,
I'm
Jesus
trying.
Jesus fucking Christ, get off my case.
I love this too. He acts quickly when Spicoli comes out and asks the question. It diverts the guy's attention. He throws coffee, which is set up. He sets the coffee when the
beginning
scene starts.
Beginning of the scene.
Yeah.
He
throws it on the guy, and I love how quickly he acts. He jumps over the counter, steals the gun, and it's so satisfying because, like, you see the background, like, the getaway car drives away. It's like, there goes your ride, asshole.
The getaway car driving away is really funny. I really like that
and
detail.
Just the look of success on his, the victory of look on his face. So he's looking at Spicoli. He's like, I fucking did that.
I
love it too because the movie.
He's holding a guy at gunpoint.
Yeah.
I love this because I was paying attention to the dates because the final exam, as Mr. Hand is writing it out, is June 3rd.
Yes.
This line, this after this scene in the end, it says that Brad makes manager on June 12th.
Wow.
So that's how quickly he rose in the ranks at Mighty Bart.
I love that they did the American, like, I genuinely love that they do the American Graffiti ending, except the thing that sucks about the American Graffiti ending, I think the biggest flaw it has, in my opinion, is how dumb everything is and how, like, grandiose or, like, it's like they span the generation of, like, of baby boomers. But this one, everything that happens is so minuscule and it, like, does not matter.
I like the teacher thinks everyone's on dope.
Yeah. Like, Stacy or Linda, Phoebe Kate's character, ended up dating her psych major in college. Mark and Stacy are together, but they still haven't gone all the way. And then there's the Looney Tunes angle where Spicoli saves Brooke Shields and he blows the reward money getting Van Halen to play his birthday party.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
But again, like, if I have one criticism with this movie, it's like, I wanted more. You know what I mean? It's such a short movie. And, like, some of these things, like, I really get invested in the drama of it. I think Jennifer Jason Leigh is a really good actor. Honestly, I think I've liked her in pretty much everything I've seen her in. I think she's really underrated. She's great in this movie.
She'll always come to deliver.
I want to say, by the way, in comparison, I was able to pull up what the American Graffiti, like, end things are. Uh-huh. And I remember them just being, like, so over the top. And
it's wild.
Stand
Harrison
by
Ford
it. So this
went
is
on to,
John Milner was killed by a drunk driver in December 1964. Terry Fields was reported missing in action near Ann Lock in December 1965. Steve Bolander is an insurance agent in Modesto, California.
So this is basically Lucas doing the Clerks ending.
Yeah!
They all died in the end. Movie over.
And then everyone
And then Kurt Henderson is died. A writer living in Canada.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I get my film student award now?
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
I cut to black and with a gunshot. Where's my award?
But yeah, so I love the Fast Times just being like, he's now an assistant to the manager at the movie theater.
There was a lot of great lines in this movie where it's like, come on, Mark, you're a great guy. You're the assistant to the assistant manager at the movie theater.
So my quote for the episode, which we kind of started differently, but the quote that I was going to say.
We got right into it.
Was, look at her and look at you, a member of the honor roll. Assistant to the assistant manager of the video store. I'm telling you, Ryan, if this girl can't smell your qualifications, then who needs her?
You were really set on this guy is Ryan. My quote was just going to be the...
It would have killed
it would
had
have.
We started differently and had Ryan been on this. If things were different, there's
no,
another
yeah.
universe out there where
Absolutely.
I had a great opening line.
Mine was going to be just... Aloha, because which was so inexplicable that Mr. Hand is like, that's he's like, yeah, I'm a guy who says aloha.
Yeah, that's an interesting bit there. Yeah,
wait, Mr. Hand says aloha.
Yeah, he says it first,
that's
which
like
is
first
why.
And Mr.
Hand,
end, if you haven't seen the movie, he's the stuck up teacher, the professor guy who's with Spicoli.
So it you know comes full circle at the end and feels more natural for Spicoli to say aloha, but aloha, of course, means both hello and goodbye. So, and you one know, day, I, and one day Cameron Crowe would make a really, 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 everyone can agree, amazing movie at the same
time. I
want to
talk about a bummer of a movie, Jackie. But to give it to Spicoli, I will say he does have one of my favorite lines in the movie where it's during his fantasy sequence. He's getting interviewed by someone. And at some point he breaks up the interview. He's like, where'd you get that jacket? Yeah. It's just like this like tweed jacket.
It's like a tan jacket. And the guy responds like, I got it from the studio.
There is
yeah,
something,
the studio gave to me.
I think like there is something about Spicoli that is endearing. Like there's a reason why he's something people like. Like I do... He has like a, he doesn't ever seem like he's trying to like be screw anyone over. Like he's not the video store guy who slept with, who statutorily rapes Stacey.
Well, okay. Right? Yes, that is true. And he did drive under the influence and wreck
he did
a student athlete's
You're
car.
Right. You're right. That was pretty bad.
That was very. I would say that was extremely.
The
reckless.
Way he was driving is pretty bad.
Come on,
it's pretty rough.
He
yeah,
he
but,
says,
but guys, you're forgetting he can fix this. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Relax. All right. My old man is a television repairman. Got this ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
You can't fix this car, Spicoli.
I can fix it.
He can. Kinda, he fixed it by just framing someone
by
else.
Framing someone else so that they can manipulate the football player into killing people on the field.
It is, yeah, that scene is wild. Because it's like, the way it's framed, like, Forrest Whitaker. It is, I forget his name in the movie, but he's like the
it's
star
like
football
Jefferson.
Player.
Jefferson.
Jefferson, yes.
And the reason that Forrest Whitaker has his car is because Spicoli's hanging out with Charles Jefferson's little brother, who is like a little kid.
Yeah.
Which is something you kind of get the sense of that it's kind of the sadness of Spicoli is like, he's more on more than one occasion hanging out with little kids.
Yeah, at the
because
arcade
that's who's
or otherwise.
On his wavelength.
And it would seem sharing his drugs with
it's very yeah, well once
kid.
Again it's like I would love to read the book or see like an expanded version of this movie because like those are the little bits that are left unexplained like wait why is he hanging out with that guy's little brother?
The opening shot of the movie is Spicoli in an arcade that's very clearly
yeah.
like filled with like 8 to 10 year olds
and he's shirtless,
you know 17-year-old guy there.
Yeah, I don't
well,
love
he does
it.
At one point he does a joke. He does that thing
well,
to
no,
a kid who's
I,
like,
I don't think he's I think the idea is that he is just so stunted. Like he's,
yes,
he's
yeah.
He's, I mean, I don't think he's doing it for perv reasons. I just still don't love it. It's just like, once again, can you please put a shirt on, dude? Like, we're at the mall. This isn't, you're not at home.
I'm curious, Jackie.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Sean Penn, the
negative? Negative.
Okay. Just checking the temperature there.
I will say, I think, love him or hate him, I think this probably is, at least pop culture wise, like the definitive stoner character. Like, it's certainly the one that's endured.
I mean, the voice.
It's gotta be the one. I mean, what's the closest set? Is the closest, like, I mean,
it's like Bill and Ted, but that's kind of the same voice.
Is the Matthew McConaughey Dazed and Confused kind of a stoner vibe? Like,
yeah.
He's definitely a stoner.
I kind of feel him as Spicoli in 4 years or something.
He is a stoner, but it's more in the, like, well, yeah, because he has the whole line where it's like, do you have a joint? No. Be a lot cooler if you did. But that's not like falling out of a van that's radiating weed smoke kind of vibe, you know? I don't know.
Wow, that's probably where the First Date video came from. The music video to First Date by Blink-182.
You know, the generations that opens of them, stoner dudes.
Yeah, falling out of... I mean, I know the trope. Like, I just kind of thought, like, yeah, the trope of, like, a guy falling out of a van while smoke is pouring out. But that literally happens in this movie.
Yes.
Well, like I said, I think this movie is really good. I think it does have, like Saturday Night Fever, a misconception on what it is. I think this is a very, like, kind of real drama with comedy in it. Like I said, if my only criticism would be that it's so short, I would like to spend more time with these characters. It made me want to read the book.
I like that it's, I like that it's whipsaw, and I like that it's kind of, not to lean into my whole thing about like movies need to be short. Uh-huh. I could have enjoyed a longer cut of this movie too. I see what you're saying, Dave, but I kind of like that this is a bit, hey, wait a minute, it's over? Because that's kind of how the whole thing feels. Like,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Where it's just like, my only criticism is kind of simultaneously a compliment, where it's like, it leaves me wanting more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind that it's short. It's almost just like, oh man, it's over? You know what I
think
I mean?
That
it's not...
Yeah, I definitely think that it's just a movie that I wonder if... Because I did look on the Letterboxd, and it seems like a lot of people either really like or really hate this movie. And I do think some of it is expectations. Like it's not American Pie. It's just not that movie. It's not that kind of a movie.
It's I guess, as we've said, the Spicoli show of it all. I think if you've been on Facebook anytime in the last, 15 years, you've seen some kind of Gen X meme featuring like a Spicoli face of like, huh?
I got to imagine the reason this endured and became so popular, especially at the time, is because there wasn't really a ton of movies like that. Like the stoner comedies weren't getting into the real things that this movie does.
And it's not Cheech and Chong. Yeah.
I'm guessing like kids at the time were like, oh yeah, I have a friend that's just like that. Or I'm like that guy or whatever. Like, I'd imagine that's probably why, it's putting out questions that maybe like, you know, things in pop culture weren't talking about, and that was probably really novel at the time, I would imagine.
Well, I ask, I think it's worth asking again of like, is the intended audience, I mean, it's rated R, so the intended audience is adults, but like, is it adults in a kind of, do you think, you know, I guess what am I trying to say, is it is it in a sort of Euphoria-esque like gawking way sort of too, do you think, a little bit of like, because I think there is a lot of heart and a lot of darkness here, but like, you know, you think of season one of Euphoria, and that one had like abortion and
I think there's a bit of like the fact that this is just coming from a Gonzo journal report of Rolling Stone, like there's going to be some sensationalism.
I guess. Yeah, I guess that is sort of what I'm asking, because I think that's, you know, if we're talking about generations, like who's telling the story to whom, who's telling you about your generation or et cetera. I think not casting like a value judgment in any way or the other, but that it's interesting of what is maybe the core human truth at it, and what is the, like, you as the older person fell for something that younger people like don't, you know, it's an exaggeration, sort of sensationalized thing. I think it's interesting.
I don't know, like Euphoria, I think I saw the first two seasons. I thought that show was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Oh, certainly.
The Jacob Elordi character is basically like a Michael Myers character throughout that show. You talk about sensationalism and blowing things up. Like, I don't know what the fuck Euphoria is.
What if there was a Nate Jacobs, like, just sociopath in Ridgemont High?
He's a straight up sociopath. Whereas in this movie, like the Damone character is just like kind of a scuzzy teenager, like, shitty guy.
He's not this
Michael Myers-esque character like Jacob Elordi is.
He's gonna kill you with a gun.
Yeah.
Speaking of out there, this movie could have been, I think, a lot more out there. I think this is just an example of how.
I don't think Amy Heckerling was trying to make Euphoria, by the way. I don't think that was her goal.
I think that. Yeah, this movie could have been a lot weirder because Universal, the executives at Universal, who are very smart, thought the perfect director for this material, this like Gonzo high school journalism report, their choice was David Lynch.
Okay, that, and honestly, I think, no offense to Amy Heckerling, I think I love that her kind of portrayal of the abortion, everything is very matter of fact. I think David Lynch would have been like, let's get into the bummer.
I see that as like David Lynch just made Elephant Man. It was very successful and very critically applauded. Like, to me, that's Universal saying like, he had a big hit, let's have him do this movie.
And I saw it went as to Cameron Crowe and David Lynch having a meeting together, and Lynch came away saying like, I think this is a good movie, but I don't think I should do this.
Sorry, I'm going to make it way too weird.
The sensibilities you're looking for this story.
Can you imagine what David Lynch's... It probably would have been a lot more like... I bet would have leaned more into the soap opera-iness that you get in like Twin Peaks and stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know,
it
would have been interesting.
I think, you know, honestly, yeah, I think
I don't know if like it would have been better, but it would have been interesting.
I like Amy Heckerling's direction in this movie. I like that everything is so matter of fact. I think it was a perfect pairing with I imagine what Cameron Crowe did. I just like getting an inside scoop, like, well, what are kids like, life's like in high school at this time?
Yeah.
I wish I had read the article. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Oh, it was an article? I thought it was a book.
Oh, maybe it was a book. Maybe it was like a book that became an article or something.
Or like a collection of
whatever it was, I wanted
something.
To read it, but I didn't read it. And
from what I understand, like he befriended the character that was basically the Mark character in the movie.
Oh, okay. Mm,
that makes sense. But yeah, I could see, I don't know. I'm just curious, you know, to what extent this is Cameron Crowe and to what extent this is Amy Heckerling.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to watch this with the commentary. There's a commentary track with both of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, interesting.
But that would be a good commentary, I think.
I think so, yeah. Any final thoughts on Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
It's tangential, and I, having not seen this movie, but do you know how Jennifer Jason Leigh would go on to marry Noah Baumbach, and then he would... cheat on her and get divorced and have to write several movies such as Madagascar 2 or 3 or whatever the fuck.
Wait, really?
And then he eventually made...
He made a Madagascar?
And then he made one of the Madagascars, I believe. And then later he made the movie Marriage Story, which is loosely based on his own divorce. And he portrays the Jennifer Jason Leigh character, Scarlett Johansson, as an actress who showed her tits in a movie as a teenager and that followed her throughout her life. And he wrote his character, the Adam Driver character, as someone who received the MacArthur Genius Grant. So I just think that's interesting. I just think that's all very interesting. And I love Greta Gerwig down, but she was the other woman. So anyway, just some mess for the end. Final thoughts on Fast Times. I did enjoy it as a film. It was, but it was, I will say, bummer town.
Mm.
And I think that's fine. I think that's fine.
What about you, Mike?
I liked it. I liked it. I think it's like I was saying, I think the expectation of this movie is like it's a red flag, like, or not a red flag, a red herring. Like, don't look at the poster of this movie. Like, just kind of meet it on its own terms. I don't think it's like the best movie ever made or anything, but I think it's like, it's definitely a good, like, portrayal of the teen experience, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I was thinking, like, why do I like this movie so much? I think it's more just like, I think I really connected with it at that time in my life, like as a teenager, and it kind of stayed with me. And watching it now, I think I just sort of watch it as like a compelling drama that I think is, you know, the Spicoli's. And don't get me wrong, like, the Spicoli stuff has laughs, but like, as we said, that is not this movie, despite what the poster would have you believe. And I really get drawn into the Jennifer Jason Leigh story. Really well acted. Just a really solid drama, in my opinion. And again, the fact that it's only like an hour and 29 minutes, you're in and out before you even know it. So for me, it's really easy to get sucked into this movie. I still think it holds up. And again, it's it's a really interesting 80s time capsule in a way that doesn't feel like Stranger Things or something.
No, I mean, just that first, we kind of, you know, breezed over it, but that first opening, you know, montage and track through the mall of an alive, bustling mall truly is, as someone who was only alive for like the downward, you know, spiral of it. It's you know, you're nostalgic for something you never had. You're just like, that looks so fun and cool and hip and alive. And it's effective.
It made me miss the mall. Like, the mall was still a thing when I was growing up, but it was definitely on the downturn for sure.
Yeah.
But I remember going to the mall. I remember the mall that Ryan worked at, the Dollar Theater. Like, it was just like everything you wanted to do was there. You can go see a cheap movie. You can get something to eat. You can ride on the Ferris wheel, or the carousel rather, go to the arcade. Everything you wanted as a kid was there, and it was great. And it's like, not to be like an old, but it's a bummer thing for like this younger generation, where it's just everything is online. It's like, you're connected, but are you really connected?
Well, and even like the few malls that exist today, like I've seen pictures of like signage that are like, teens or like people under 18, like must be escorted by like an adult. Like there's an increased just like no loitering, no this or that, no teens basically. And it's just
well,
like,
I think with
let them walk around the fucking mall.
I think
man.
With the marauding biker gangs from a Morton Hoof, it makes sense why they would institute
in that case.
Kind of
you're right. They can't be too careful. It's unfortunate though, because that's what you want to do when you're a teen, is just rove around with your gang of friends and get some a little square of pizza or something.
And another interesting thing about this movie, so again, as we're closing up, like, this is all about sex. Like, that's what you're thinking of at this time in high school. But, like, is that what kids are, like, are kids thinking about sex nowadays? I don't know.
Well, like, it's, again, with the online.
Somehow, I don't think Euphoria is an accurate portrayal of kids now, you know?
You're probably right. you know, I think it's, I think it is natural for a lot of people at that age to just be like, I don't know what it is, but I can't stop thinking about it. And it doesn't mean that they, you know, It's just the most been there, done that thing. To be shocked by any teen being horny. It's all like very sensationalized. Any kind of like gooning this or that, or you know, I feel like people are going to be horny.
In pop culture, it seems like the last big teen sex comedy I can remember that was really, really big was Superbad. That was 2007. Yeah. That's like, you know, almost 20 years ago.
There's been more since Superbad, Dave.
There's been more, but I'm talking about ones that really, really hit, that were huge. You know what I mean? But the big thing you hear now is like this Gen Z like they don't want sex in movies. They don't want sexy movies. And it got me thinking, like, is it because they're so inundated with sexual imagery everywhere at all times? Like, are they just over it?
It's yes and no, and it's all.
And also, I don't know, the most of the teens right now, are they even Gen Z? Aren't the Gen Zs a little older?
Yeah, I don't know what the current Gen is.
But Gen Alpha, I think, is the new teens. They love, I don't know what they're into, you know? No one knows. We need a Cameron Crowe out there to go.
I guess I'm just like, are they not craving sex as much as, like, I want followers, or I want to be viral? You know what I mean?
They're probably exactly the same as teens have
always
been.
I bet they're doing Crimes of the Future shit. Sexual excitement does nothing for me. We need to be doing surgery on each other.
I don't want
to
have sex. I want a vape.
I want a vape and cut you open, bitch.
Yeah, they're probably fine.
Surgery's the new sex. Haven't you heard? Christian Stewart tried to tell us.
We'll save that topic for our eventual Crimes of the Future podcast, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Actually, the studio, after David Lynch said no, the studio's next thought was David Cronenberg.
They're like, hey, do you want this boner comedy? A girl gets an abortion. But, like, it's pretty chill, honestly.
Teens are always going to be, you know, like this, and studio executives are always going to be stupid and have bad ideas.
Two very true things. And I think that's also just a tricky thing of like whether or not a movie or TV show or whatever can accurately capture it. Like, teens, young people are gonna want to have sex with each other, and a lot of the time it'll be bad, and some of the time it'll be really fun and exciting, and that's just how human life continues on.
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of funny, like our last batch of summer episodes here in August, it seems like sex is going to be kind of a running theme throughout these movies in August.
Let's talk about it, baby.
Yeah, when we return, we'll be getting a little more grown up with an officer and a gentleman. Still talking about sex, though.
Okay, great.
Spoiler alert, sex is going to come up in the next movie.
I'm looking at the full title of the movie is An Officer and a Gentleman and Sex.
And my wiener? ?
What? It's weird. There's two question marks in the movie title.
Titled like a manga?
Well, I'll end our episode here with another kind of an eyebrow-raising line from the movie. I wonder if you guys remember who said it. I like sex. Do you know who said that?
No.
It was Jefferson's little brother.
Oh, that's right. He did say that. Movie's so fucking stupid.
All right. Well, until next time, I see someone pulling up to the store. I think we're about to be robbed. So I got to put some coffee on, guys. Bye.
Playboy?
Good?
Oh, Derek's tits.
Alright.
I like sex.